Hello, listeners. Welcome to season 7 of the Big Unlock podcast. My name is Ritu M. Oberoi, and I'm a managing partner here at BigRio and Demo Consulting. I'll be your host today for the Big Unlock podcast. Today, we are very excited to welcome Umesh to our podcast. Umesh Rastogi serves as a general manager in Microsoft's Healthcare and Life Sciences HLS, Dragon and Platform Group. In this role, he leads product and engineering teams developing innovative AI solutions for nurses, as well as broader data platform capabilities for the healthcare industry. Umesh is deeply passionate about building technology-driven innovation to help healthcare industry achieve its quadruple aim, and he has held pivotal roles in engineering, technology architecture, and product management. So welcome, Umesh, to our podcast. Really happy to have you here.
Glad to be here, Ritu.
Would you like to add anything to that introduction?
Yeah, I mean, my journey has been more than 2 decades of work in enterprise software, held a variety of different roles, and have worked on applications domain as well as platform. And my foray into healthcare was about 10 years back, actually, when I was teaching biology or helping my daughter with her biology coursework. And that's when I said, okay, how could I use technology to actually have an impact on healthcare? And then over the years, I've had opportunity to build hospital emergency response solutions. I mean, when the COVID hit and various kind of other healthcare capabilities along the way. And then very recently, I mean, as you said in your introduction, yes, I'm leading our product and engineering teams building the Dragon Copilot solution for nurses and very passionate about the work that we are doing there.
Thank you, Umesh. Thank you for sharing that story. We always love origin stories and we find out like the most interesting things, you know, about people, and especially when we talk to clinicians, how they've combined, you know, technology and healthcare. So yeah, thank you for sharing that. So let's get started. And, you know, healthcare leaders often talk about AI as if the primary challenge is just selecting the right model or, you know, selecting the right LLM. But much of your recent work has focused on building unified multimodal healthcare data foundations. So are we at the risk of overestimating the AI problem and underestimating the data problem? What does AI ready really mean in a healthcare organization? Would love to hear your answer about that.
That's an excellent question. So if you take a step back and say, okay, what are the outcomes these organizations are typically trying to achieve? I mean, it fits within those quadruple aims that we have often talked about. I mean, it's either to improve the healthcare outcomes or to improve the patient experiences or to reduce cost. And lastly, to improve the well-being of the clinicians, be it the physicians, be it nurses, and so on. And yes, I mean, that's the ultimate aim. So whatever technology that we are picking up actually has to address one of those or more than one of those different aims. Yes, many organizations typically end up just making it LLM problem or a core model problem, but that's just a piece of the puzzle. I mean, the whole technology stack actually starts from making sure that you have the access to the right data, right, on which you are basically applying these AI models and agents and enabling the various kind of workflows for physicians, for nurses, for radiologists, and so on.
Great. So tell us more about how Microsoft is partnering with health systems to responsibly scale, you know, these AI-enabled clinical solutions specifically for nursing workflows. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. And actually, if you look at what's happening in the nursing workforce at large, I think recent data basically point us to we have a shortage of about 80,000 nurses. I mean, that was the data as of last year. And that gap is actually expected to increase to about 500,000 by 2030. And wow. What's driving that is obviously the increasing demand of the aging population, but more importantly, the high turnover within the nursing workforce. So on average, we are basically seeing a turnover of about 17% within nurses in all the health systems within US. And the primary reason which is driving this turnover is 40% of these nurses are basically reporting a high amount of stress and burnout. And the biggest contributor to that stress and burnout is the fact that they are actually having to spend 40% of their time in a typical 12-hour shift actually in the system versus actually taking care of the patient. In the administrative work that they are doing in these systems, typically the EHR system is around either doing the flow sheet documentation, right, which is, I mean, rows and rows of data that they have to capture on behalf of the patient as part of their assessments, be it the capturing the vitals, be it capturing the head and toe assessments, the patient safety documentation, and so on. So that's the biggest chunk of that 40% that I was talking about. Then they are looking for information, either looking for information in EHR about the patient chart, right? Or looking for information about the adverse effect of a drug from credible sources, right? External credible sources, or looking for documentation from their own internal protocols and guidelines documents they have. And doing various kind of communication and coordination tasks, many of these things could be delegated, right? So all this 40% time is basically driving a high cognitive load, is basically driving essentially the turnover, incremental overtime, poor quality of documentation, and so on. So that's a challenge that the nursing industry or the nurses are facing today. So what Dragon Copilot is basically doing to address this challenge is, I mean, I would say it's somewhat unique. If you look at the differences in the physician workflows versus the nursing workflow, you'll find that the nursing is typically much more fast-paced. It's much more mobile, right? So in an ambulatory setting, okay, the patient comes and visits the doctor. I mean, it's a different environment. But in case of the nursing, I mean, it's a very fast-paced environment. Nurses are moving around, taking care of patients, attending to a given patient multiple times during their shift and so on. So the workflows had to be rethought. And what we did with Dragon Copilot was, over the last 2 years, we have actually been doing kind of a co-innovation with these 9 different organizations, including Mercy Health, Advocate Health, Stanford, and so on. And what we have been doing is essentially learning, co-innovating, validating, iterating on the solution to make sure that we get it right. We knew right from day one that to make sure that we have a solution that nurses will use and like, it has to be as low friction as possible. It has to naturally fit in the workflow that they are acquainted with. So we invested a lot of time in usability of the solution, invested a lot of time in making sure the AI accuracy is right, thinking through what organizations will need to actually scale these solutions to thousands of their nurses, right? So because it's the entire workforce transformation, so building those tools that they would basically be needing. And then with that co-innovation, we basically ended up building, I would call, the most comprehensive AI clinical assistant for nurses, which not only streamlines documentation, but it also surfaces various kind of information or automates various kind of tasks that the nurses have to do. So the way the solution would work is the nurse would basically now carry the app on a mobile phone, and as they are seeing the patient by the bedside, I mean, they're basically selecting the patient record and then having an actual conversation with the patient. Or if they are running between two patients, I mean, and they have a ad hoc observation, maybe something they didn't want to say in front of the patient, they would basically do that recording and then leave the rest to AI, where AI behind the scene basically does the necessary extraction and then automatically populates the flow sheet documentation. Nurses can easily go and then review it and then edit if needed and file it. And in addition to that, they also get capabilities where they can ask through a chat, Dragon Copilot chat functionality, for various information, either about what happened with this patient in the past interactions or getting access to their pending care activities, right? Because Dragon Copilot actually makes a, almost like provides a cognitive memory across whatever has happened with the patient across the shift. Right. So the net result is it basically helps the nurses reduce that cognitive load.
Yeah. Thank you, Umesh, for that really detailed answer. And I think you've made, you know, some really good points. And I think one of the great points you've made is that it has to really fit in within their, you know, workflows and eliminate the friction, because that's what leads to a lot of these technologies, you know, failing in the POC stage because they can't scale. So this leads into the next question where, you know, when nurses think about AI, there's often resistance and there's often skepticism. So what have you actually seen resonate once nurses experience this AI, which, you know, you've put so much thought and time into and which fits naturally into their day-to-day work? Have you seen, you know, a better rate of adoption, more open mind towards this kind of technology, or are you still facing that resistance?
Very well said, Ritu. If you look at from the nurse's perspective, I mean, in general, there is a lot of, I would say, hype as well as misinformation in the industry around what AI is and is not, and how is it going to change. I think from our standpoint, nurses who have actually experienced this technology firsthand, right, the kind of things they talk about, I would say, can be categorized into one of these two categories. So the first category is mostly around their own cognitive load, their own work. And nurses are basically saying that, okay, hey, now they feel that the system is basically doing a lot of things for them versus they have to worry about things. I mean, think about without having access to this technology, when the nurse is doing this documentation and so on, they don't have the computer available in front of them. Many times they are actually scribbling on their hands important observations that they will then go back to their workstation and then key it in. Or they have to just remember, okay, hey, this is what I said to that. I told that patient, this is what I will take care of. Did I forget something or follow up or not, right? All this basically adds to that cognitive burden. And now what is happening is, I mean, because you're letting the system ambiently listen to the conversation that you were having with the patient, system records everything. I can go back now. It has already extracted the information. But what we are also seeing that in this conversation, often there is nuggets or pieces of information which is more than just the flow sheet documentation. So for example, they had told the patient that they will follow up on something. Mm-hmm. Now with the system, now it basically says, hey, here are your pending care activities, not just from the last interaction from this patient, right? But almost a running list of, you have seen this patient five times in this shift. This is what you talked about the first time, second time, third time, fourth time, across all these things. Here is a summary of what has happened with the patient, and here is your pending care activities. So all these capabilities are basically significantly helping reduce the cognitive load of the nurse. That's one. This is from a nurse feeling standpoint.
Yeah.
The second big bucket is, I think most nurses are saying, okay, hey, now they feel present with the patient. So what used to happen in the past, again, is because your mind is more around, I'm doing a piece of documentation, either my back is on the computer if I have a workstation on wheels and I'm keying things in, maybe asking questions, I'm not present with the patient. And by use of this technology, now nurses are basically saying, okay, hey, I'm there, I'm present. I mean, there is an easier flow of feelings, thoughts between the patient and the nurse, and a free flow of needs without having to worry about, oh, I have to explicitly document. And you leave that thing to the system, and the system automatically does the necessary extraction, which you can then review and file.
Yeah.
Two big, I would say, categories of feedback that we get from nurses who are actually using the solution.
Great. Yeah. You know, this is what we've heard from other C-suite leaders as well, that an indirect benefit has been that patients also feel more heard because now that the analyst is listening, the nurses are articulating more. They're kind of explaining everything because so that the ambient can pick up on it, and that's indirectly benefiting, you know, the patients as well. So that's like a good side benefit. Great. So as you know, this generative AI becomes more embedded in all these healthcare workflows, there's like an increasing discussion about responsible AI, you know, about governance and trust. So in your opinion, how should health systems balance this urgency to innovate with the need to ensure that, you know, this AI generated insights remain transparent, explainable, and clinically trustworthy? Because nobody can go back and verify everything, right? Earlier, we were talking about human in the loop, but now with the volume of information being generated, we are saying that's not possible anymore. So in your opinion, what do you think? How do you ensure that trustworthiness?
So I would say three different aspects. So one is before we ship the product and the AI capability, I mean, Microsoft is very big as part of its product development effort. Responsible AI is at the forefront. So literally nothing can get released unless we have done all the checkboxes, have looked for bias. I mean, we not only have nurses within our own teams who can basically vouch for, okay, hey, this answer makes sense, or this is an issue or not. So as well as all the compliance things that we need to take care of. All those things are done to make sure that we have evaluated the functionality or the capability being released for responsible AI. So that's one aspect. Second is from an actual workflow standpoint, with what we are doing with Dragon Copilot, be it for physicians, be it for nurses, be it for radiologists and other clinicians, the workflow is still that it's a copilot. So the user gets to review the output of the system and then edit if needed, because yes, AI can sometimes be wrong. And then in context of the specific workflows we are talking about, I mean, yes, there could be patient safety risk if this documentation is not done correctly, right? So yes, the clinicians are expected to review the output of AI and then edit if needed and then file. Then the third aspect is, I mean, I think you're right that many organizations are basically saying, okay, I can't have the AI as a black box, right? So can I get more transparency into how the AI is behaving? So for that, I mean, we have actually built capabilities within our product. I mean, we believe in kind of establishing that trust through transparency. So the customers can actually set up their system in such a way that you can export the raw data out into your own, like Microsoft Fabric or Data Lake, where you can get access to those recordings, transcripts, and so on. So you know how the AI actually performed. And this is also something that many of the organizations have asked for. I would say not so much for sometimes it's for audit reasons, sometimes it's for like research and training reason and so on, where they find access to this information valuable. So that's the overall way, I mean, we are addressing it. And based on customer feedback, we continue to work on additional capabilities where we can provide even more transparency into these capabilities to customers, like how the AI is actually behaving, what kind of output their end users are getting.
So Umesh, you mentioned that you were co-innovating with 9 large health systems, mm-hmm. right? And you were helping them and, you know, you're learning from them as well. Given, you know, all this evolution, share with us some, you know, lessons as to what it takes to implement at enterprise scale within these hospitals. Any other, like our listeners who are listening or health systems, what are some of the things you would caution them about and what are some of the lessons you want to share with them?
I would say that there were two distinct kind of learnings, Ritu, as we went through this experience with these 9 health systems. So one was iterating on the technology, the core product. And I gave some examples on how we actually, through that experience, working with the nurses, working with the nurse informatics leaders, working with the nurse leaders, we actually, let's say, enhanced the AI accuracy, enhanced the usability of the solution, added more functionality to make sure that we continue to improve the usability, continue to reduce that friction out of the workflow, right? We also built these tools needed by organization to help them do a mass rollout, right? So we know, I mean, pilots were easy, okay? It was always a few hundred users and so on. But with the full scale work rollout, I mean, you're basically talking about thousands and tens of thousands of nurses, right? So you need a mechanism by which you can, for example, have visibility into, hey, what is the actual usage of these technology across my workforce, across nursing units and so on. So we invested in building the analytics as an example, giving access to the nurse informatics leaders on what are their usage analytics and usage patterns and so on. We also worked on building specific AI tuning or AI customizations tools, right? Because what we realized, and I would say this is a complexity, but it's also a strength of what we are doing. The complexity is each of the, you can say a med-surg unit and you can say an intermediate care unit. The reality is that most organizations will have their own specific flowsheet schemas in which they document. They will have their own specific charting practices, right? Mm-hmm. And the AI solution has to align with those schema and those charting practices. So we have built capabilities, I mean, like AI tuning tools or AI customization manager, as we often call it, giving this access to the customers and their nursing informatics team to make sure that they can tune the system to align with their specific schemas, their specific practices, and so on. So that was on the tool side. But almost equally important, Ritu, was how these solutions are basically getting rolled out in the organizations. Because end of the day, I mean, it's a workforce transformation. It is a change management. It's a different way of doing things, right? It's almost like getting the nurses to build a different habit. Not every nurse is comfortable with speaking out loud or caring out loud. We have found demographics differences. So tenured nurses, as an example, are a lot more comfortable versus the Gen Z nurses. So these are some of the learnings that we had, I mean, which were non-product learning about how this technology needs to be rolled out to make sure that you get the maximum adoption, right? Mm-hmm. So change management aspects are key, making sure that you have the nursing leader sponsorship, making sure you have nurse manager sponsorship, making sure every nursing unit has dedicated champions of this technology. We basically encapsulated that as a change management best practices to make sure that you can actually use the same technology in the best possible way for your own organization and then actually get adoption. So those were the two buckets of learnings.
Thank you. I think digital literacy is so important. You know, it helps remove some of that skepticism that we talked about earlier. Once you know about the technology, understand it, you're more amenable to kind of, you know, the adoption rates.
Correct. Otherwise, you are pushing back. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So great. I think we've had a wonderful conversation, Umesh. We're almost at the end of the podcast. So, you know, just to wrap up, I think we would like to ask you a forward-looking question. So if you look ahead 1 to 3 years, we used to say 5 years, but now, you know, that horizon is too far ahead. So 1 to 3 years, do you believe the biggest impact of AI in healthcare will come from automating all this administrative work, enabling personalized patient engagement, or do you think it, you know, some entirely new kind of care model will be unlocked? I'm just asking for your personal viewpoint. What do you think is coming next from your vantage point?
So, I mean, from my vantage point, and I mean, restricting it to, I would say, the next 3 years, and maybe focusing more on how I see the nursing workflows and how care gets delivered will change. Yes. I think we'll see the smart hospital rooms and wearable devices a lot more integrated into the workflows, where it becomes a frictionless experience for nurses and for the patient. I think, I mean, today we talk about the audio. I think audio plus video will become integrated as well. I believe we would build some kind of a UI for AI, which can integrate information and surface information from a lot more sources of data, right? And deliver not information, but rather insights. I mean, we have early success with that already, right? How do you bring together the data that is in the EHR together with data in the external credible sources, together with your internal guidelines documents, and so on and so on. Lastly, I would say is I think we will see a lot more agentic workflows kind of rolled out, where today we talk primarily about streamlining documentation and so on. But there is so much that is done, be it around interaction with the supplies department, interaction with transportation department, interaction with facilities and so on. And all these things, again, take time. That is time taken away from direct patient care. So we'll see a lot more of these non-patient facing activities basically get delegated to agentic task execution. So I think those are some of the themes I think will come together very neatly in the next couple of years.
Thank you, Umesh. Thank you for being on our podcast today and, you know, sharing all your learnings with us. I hope the listeners can, you know, learn a lot of valuable lessons. And on behalf of the Big Unlock podcast, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Ritu. And it was great to be here.
Thank you.